This podcast is brought to you by Bethany Trinity Presbyterian Church. Thanks for listening.
We will now move into time of scripture reading. Today's scripture reading comes from Leviticus chapter 9, verses 15 to chapter 10, verses 20. So Sherlyn up to read today's passage for us.
Today's scripture reading can be found spread over pages 110 and 111. So if you just leave it open to pages 110 and 111, or you can follow along on the screens. I'll be reading the whole thing continuously. Chapter 9, verse 15. Aaron then brought the offering that was for the people. He took the goat for the people's sin offering and slaughtered it, and offered it for a sin offering as he did with the first one. He brought the burnt offering and offered it in the prescribed way. He also brought the grain offering, took a handful of it, and burned it on the altar in addition to the morning's burnt offering. He slaughtered the ox and the ram as the fellowship offering for the people. His sons handed him the blood, and he splashed it against the sides of the altar. But the fat portions of the ox and the ram, the fat tail, the layer of fat, the kidneys, and the long lobe of the liver, these they laid on the breasts, and then Aaron burned the fat on the altar. Aaron waved the breasts and the right thigh before the Lord as a wave offering, as Moses commanded. Then Aaron lifted his hands towards the people and blessed them. And having sacrificed the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the fellowship offering, he stepped down. Moses and Aaron then went into the tent of meeting. When they came out, they blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. Fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat portions on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted for joy and fell face down. Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, took their censers, put fire in them, and added incense. And they offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, contrary to his command. So fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Moses then said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord spoke of when he said, 'Among those who approach me, I will be proved holy. In the sight of all the people, I will be honored.'" Aaron remained silent. Moses summoned Mishael and Elzaphan, sons of Aaron's uncle Uzziel, and said to them, "Come here, carry your cousins outside the camp, away from the front of the sanctuary." So they came and carried them, still in their tunics, outside the camp, as Moses ordered. Then Moses said to Aaron and his sons, Eleazar and Ithamar, "Do not let your hair become unkempt, and do not tear your clothes, or you will die, and the Lord will be angry with the whole community. But your relatives, all the Israelites, may mourn for those the Lord has destroyed by fire. Do not leave the entrance to the tent of meeting, or you will die, because the Lord's anointing oil is on you." So they did as Moses said. Then the Lord said to Aaron, "You and your sons are not to drink wine or other fermented drink whenever you go into the tent of meeting, or you will die. This is a lasting ordinance for the generations to come, so that you can distinguish between the holy and the common, between the unclean and the clean. And so you can teach the Israelites all the decrees the Lord has given them through Moses." Moses said to Aaron and his remaining sons, Eleazar and Ithamar, Take the grain offering left over from the food offerings presented, prepared without yeast, and present it to the Lord, and eat it beside the altar, for it is most holy. Eat it in the sanctuary area, because it is your share and your son's share of the food offerings presented to the Lord. For so I have been commanded. But you and your sons and daughters may eat the breast that was waved and the thigh that was presented. Eat them in a ceremonially clean place. They have been given to you and your children as your share of the Israelites' fellowship offerings. The thigh that was presented and the breast that was waved must be brought with the fat portions of the food offerings to be waved before the Lord as a wave offering. This will be the perpetual share for you and your children, as the Lord has commanded. When Moses inquired about the goat of the sin offering and found that it had been burned, he was angry with Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's remaining sons, and asked, "Why didn't you eat the sin offering in the sanctuary area? It is most holy. It was given to you to take away the guilt of the community by making atonement for them before the Lord. Since its blood was not taken into the holy place, you should have eaten the goat in the sanctuary area, as I commanded." Aaron replied to Moses, "Today they sacrifice their sin offering and their burnt offering before the Lord. But such things as this have happened to me. Would the Lord have been pleased if I had eaten the sin offering today?" When Moses heard this, he was satisfied. This is the word of God.
We'll now invite Pastor Andrew up to give us today's sermon.
Hey, what's so special about the 9th of August? You all know? Okay, it's National Day, right? Okay, so what's so special about this year's National Day? Well, you're all quite good, huh? It's the 60th anniversary, right, of the nation. So I'm sure that even right now, there are people who are doing all the logistics, preparing for it. There are people making sure that it's going to go all right. There's lots of effort being put into it. And so you can imagine on the 9th of August, which is just like 2 months down the road, the whole of Singapore will be watching and participating in National Day. Whether it's at the Padang or whether you're watching TV at home, people in Singapore will be involved. So I want us to imagine at the high point of the National Day, which I think to me is like when they have the fly pass with the jets and then the red lions coming down the parachute. Just imagine, okay, that just at that moment, 50% of the Singapore cabinet members dropped dead. Right? Or 50% of all the ruling party dropped dead. Or imagine, I suppose, if you're an opposition party supporter, that 50% of the Workers' Party also dropped it. Now, how would the nation feel? They would go from absolute celebration to complete shock, right? There would be lots of cheering to deathly silence. They would go from rejoicing to fear. Because this is an existential crisis, right? If this were to happen, the future of Singapore would be called into question, right? The existence of the future of Singapore would be called into question. And this is what is happening as we read Leviticus chapter 11. Right? On this day, they've been preparing for the last year to build the tabernacle. It's been completed. The tent of meeting is there. They've started the inauguration service. And what happens? Two out of the five priests die. Now, why do they die? Because God is a holy God and God is a consuming fire. And so, last week, we saw that as they began the inauguration service, what happened? This consuming fire of this holy God consumed the burnt offering. Right, the priests had laid their hands on the bull, Sin had been transferred from the community onto the bull, and God's fire had consumed it because there was sin there. But as we come to chapter 10 here today, we see what happens. This holy God now, his consuming fire comes on the priests themselves, Nadab and Abihu, because they themselves have sinned. And this is an existential crisis for the whole community. Now, what exactly did Nadab and Abihu do that was so wrong? Well, if you look here in the Bible, it says here in verse 1, they offered unauthorized fire or unholy fire or unholy coals before the Lord, contrary to his command. Now, I have my happy call sensor. Hey, it's actually this useless pen that my son bought, but we never use for frying eggs, for frying small eggs, right? Sounds like a good idea, but you know, you never really use it. This happy call pen is like the sensor that the priest, that Abihu and Nadab would have used. And God had instructed them to bring the coals from this altar, which would be on fire 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days of the year, the altar of the sacrifice, where they burn all the offerings. And so God had instructed that they would take the coals from this particular source, which was holy, bring it into the sanctuary, the tent of meeting, the tabernacle, and sprinkle incense on it and put it into the altar of incense, where it would be a sweet smell for God. But what happened on that day was that they gave God unauthorized fire or unholy fire. Now, there are lots of possible explanations, but the one that makes the most sense is the tabernacles and the tabernacle enclosure is actually a really large structure. We don't really realize it. It's about the size of a football field. So it's pretty far, right? And you can imagine Nadab and Abihu kind of like thinking, why do I have to walk all the way out there from one side of the football field and grab the coals from the altar of the burnt offerings and walk it all the way to the tent offering to put incense and then put it into altar of incense? And what they maybe probably did was they took the coals, the fire, from a common or a profane source. And for God, this was very, very serious, right? Because God had said there is holy and there is common, there is holy and profane. And the things that come into his presence, the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, must be holy. You can't just anyhow, whatever you like, just grab some coal somewhere and just put it into God's presence. Now, how do we then understand the attitude of Nadab and Abihu? On one side of the spectrum, you could say that they were a bit casual with God. They were a bit relaxed about God's commands. But at the other extreme, you could probably say they were quite rebellious and contemptuous and quite bochup, right? As someone in my Bible study group said, they were quite bochup about what God had told them to do. And so God, as a result, consumes them in fire. Out of the five priests, two are dead, three are left. This is an existential crisis for God's people. What are they to learn from this? In verse 3, Moses then said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord spoke of when he said, 'Among those who approach me, I will be proved holy. In the sight of all the people, I will be honored.'" A holy God who is a consuming fire must be honored and holy, as holy by his people. That's the lesson that we learn here. If this is the character of God, he is holy, he is a consuming fire, then we must take holiness seriously. Now, as we move from Moses' time, from the time of Leviticus to our time, that is no different. God has not changed, and the way we approach God has not changed. And so in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 to 29, it says to Christians, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. So when we come before God, we need to come before God, honoring Him as holy, with reverence, with awe. That is what all of us must do. When we come to God, it's not about coming here and being, you know, having very serious faces when we bow down in prayer, or when we sing, you know, we worship with a particular emotion. When we come before God, it's about the attitude of the heart. When we come today before God, do you come before God honoring Him as holy, with reverence and with awe? Or do you come with the attitude of Nadab and Abihu, right? Who were bochap, rebellious, knowing what God wants, but consistently, persistently doing the opposite. Now in the New Testament, there are two examples of how people come before God in His presence without awe and without reverence and not honoring Him as holy. And so we read this in our responsive reading, right, about Ananias and Sapphira. Both of them came before God in a church setting, I presume. They came before the Apostle Peter and they said, we want to give money to the church. We're going to give the church this plot of land. And this is how much we sold it for. But they were actually lying. They were lying because of the greed in their hearts. They kept back some of the money, but yet they spoke in front of God, the Holy Spirit, and the Apostle Peter, and said, this is how much we receive for the land, and this is how much we are giving to the church. And God struck them dead. In the other example, which is probably the most similar to what we see here in Leviticus chapter 10, in the Lord's Supper, or the Holy Communion that was practiced in the church in Corinth, they used to have this potluck lunch or meal before they actually came for their communion. But the problem was the rich people were eating their own potluck and the poor people were going hungry. And again, this is really important because the Bible tells us that when we come for the Holy Communion or the Lord's Supper, we are actually coming to the presence of God. There is real participation between ourselves and Jesus. And as a result, because of this persistent bochap attitude of the Corinthian Christians, many of them actually died. They died because as they came into the presence of God, they were not generous, and instead they were selfish, and they were not caring for their poorer brothers in Christ, in church. And so God judged them. Now, I think for ourselves here, this is a very dangerous lesson. It proves that even as we come here and we believe in Jesus, we could be in a very dangerous position. Because if we are like Nadab and Abihu and have that attitude of, I'm just going to do my own thing, doesn't really matter, I'm bochap about what God tells me, and I'm just going to persistently and consistently do it, then God could actually judge us. It's interesting, right? Because Ananias and Sapphira, they could be sitting in our midst today. They were probably baptized Christians. The Corinthian Christians, they were baptized Christians too. They were coming to church. But God judged them. And so for ourselves today, as we come to church and as we hear God's word, we could be sitting here bowing down and praying very sincerely. We could be singing songs with great emotion and, you know, we could be very well dressed as well. But if our hearts are not fearing God and honoring Him as holy, we're not reverencing God and not treating Him with the respect that He deserves, then God actually says that He will judge us. Now the passage then goes on, and Moses actually instructs Aaron and the sons, the two remaining priests, Aaron and his sons, the three remaining priests, in verse 6 to verse 11, right? Three things that they need to do, three things. And these three things show that, in a sense, the show must go on. The show must go on. Oh, sorry. The show must go on. The show must go on because they are not to, it says here, let their hair become messy or tear their clothes. Now, this is really strange, right? Does that mean when I come to preach on Sunday, I'm going to make sure that my hair is not messy, right? Or my clothes are not, my shirt must be tucked in? No, right? Because what he's really saying here is, for the ancient Jews, to make your hair messy and to tear your clothes is to publicly show that you're in mourning and grieving. It's a bit like, you know, like sometimes people come to the office and then they stick that black thing on their arm to show that they're grieving or mourning. Now, God says, look, it's okay for your relatives to mourn. It's okay for all the Israelites to mourn for the Nadab and Abihu, but you, the three of you, cannot mourn. Why? Because you are on the job. You are on the job as priests, and by mourning and grieving, you are actually rebuking God. As your job, as your office of priest, if you mourn and grieve, you're actually saying God is wrong for judging your brothers or your son, even though they were sinful and rebellious. So first thing, they cannot mourn. Second thing is they cannot leave the tabernacle enclosure, right? You must not leave the entrance to the tent of meeting or you will die because the Lord's anointing is on you. So no compassionate leave for you, no having emergency leave because of the death of a relative, because the sacrifices are so important. This is an existential issue. If the sacrifices do not go on, Israel, the nation itself, will come under God's judgment. Verse 8, last thing, you're not to drink wine or other fermented drink. Now, this is a really strange thing to say. Okay, understand, right? Don't mourn. Okay, of course, there'll be mourning. Can't stop work, of course, because you're tempted to stop work. But why drink? Many commentators say it's because maybe Nadab and Abihu, they themselves were drinking. That's why they failed to distinguish between what was holy and common. And so what it's saying here in these three things is you need to keep doing the sacrifices or you will die. Now, I don't think Moses is saying it because he personally doesn't want them to die. Although I think, yes, okay, he probably wouldn't want them to die. But he is more concerned about the whole nation. If you guys don't do the sacrifices properly and you die, then we die together with you. Now, what this teaches us is that the sacrifices and the sacrificers who sacrifice the sacrifices are core, right? It's even more important than personal tragedy. It's even more important than the death of your own son or even your brother. Now, for us as Christians, I think the great, great thing is we don't have to rely on Nadab and Abihu. We don't have to rely on Aaron and his sons. We can rely on Jesus. And Jesus is perfect. If you look at this passage in Hebrews chapter 4, Jesus does not sin. Right, it says that in verse 15. He's been tempted in every way, just as we are, but he does not sin. So therefore, we can hold firmly to the faith that we profess and approach the throne of grace with confidence. Now, I want you to do this thought experiment for a second. Who's the most reliable person in your life? Imagine you needed to rely on this person for life and death. Who would it be in your life? And who would you rely on for a life and death situation in your life? Imagine, like, I don't know, you only have one phone call, right? Who would you call? Well, the Bible actually tells us that Jesus is this person who is completely reliable for us for eternal life. You know, the wonderful thing is that because we have Jesus, we have the perfect sacrifice. We have the perfect sacrificer. He is the high priest in heaven who does not sin. We can have confidence if we hold firmly to him. Now, this is so good, right? Because we will fail and there will be times where we sin. And there will be times where we feel we're not good enough. But as long as we hold firmly to Jesus, we know we can approach God. We just need to hold on to the high priest. Now, this is a really important lesson for us. Because what it tells us is if we try to approach God by religion, no, we can't approach God by religion, right? Because we don't have that perfect high priest. If we come and we think Jesus is just a good person, no, we cannot approach God that way because he is our high priest. If we think that we can be sincerely good people and therefore God will accept us, no, because Jesus is our high priest. Because Jesus is our high priest, he's our perfect sacrifice. Therefore, be holy. It's not because we are holy that we are saved. We are saved to be holy before a holy God. And so, again, this is an existential issue. It is a life and death issue. It is a future issue. You need to hold firmly to Jesus, our high priest. Have confidence so that we can be with God forever. Now, the last part of this section, in verse 12 onwards, it's quite interesting because the word that keeps being repeated actually should resonate with us as Singaporeans very much so, because the word is eat. Eat, 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 right? You sort of think that at this moment in time, Moses will have a lot of other things to talk about. Okay, you know, make sure, okay, you just took your brothers out of the tent of meeting, the tabernacle. Make sure you do this properly. Make sure you clean up all this. But he doesn't say that. In verse 12, to the end of the chapter, he keeps saying, you got to eat this, you got to eat this, you got to eat this, you eat this. But then Moses gets really, really angry, right? Moses gets really angry in verse 16. And this is really shocking because the last time that you actually see Moses getting angry is during the golden calf incident. For those of you who are not familiar, the golden calf incident was when Moses was on the mountaintop of Mount Sinai getting the tablets, right, of the Ten Commandments and the law. And the Israelites were down below burning their jewelry into a golden calf and worshipping it. And so, to say that Moses got angry then and Moses gets angry now shows you how serious the situation is. He's just been spending the whole day telling you, do not die, do this, do not die, do not die. And now he says, eat all these things so you will not die. And what do? They don't eat. They don't eat the sin offering and they burn the sin offering instead. And so, the next minute, God's fire could actually be striking them down. But the interesting thing is, look at what it says right at the very end. Well, Aaron replied to Moses in verse 19, today, they sacrifice their sin offerings and burnt offerings before the Lord, but such things as this have happened to me. Would the Lord have been pleased if I had eaten the sin offering today? You see, even though publicly they were not mourning, right, their hair was all messed up and they didn't tear their clothes, but inwardly they were mourning. And so they felt that if they ate the sin offering, it wouldn't be pleasing to God. Now this is quite interesting, right? Because if you contrast the attitude of Nadab and Abihu with Aaron and the two remaining sons, both of them actually didn't do what God commanded, but their attitude was very different. Nadab and Abihu seemed to have this contemptuous, rebellious attitude to God. But Aaron and the two remaining sons, they were thinking, how can I please God, right? And because of these special circumstances, because of the death of my son, the death of their brothers, they said it wouldn't be pleasing to God if we ate the offerings. And when Moses heard this, he was satisfied. And obviously God did not strike them down. So as we come then to the end of this section, what do we really see then? I think what we see is we need to come to God because we are saved in Jesus, yes. But attitude is very important. We need to seek to please God, honor God as holy, with awe and reverence. Failure to do so actually can be very serious and is an existential issue. It's not about coming to church or your attitude and reverence in church. It is a lifestyle thing. How many of you know the Alpha Course? You know, have you ever heard the Alpha Course? Okay, I mean, a lot of people have heard the Alpha Course. My parents have gone to the Alpha Course. And the Alpha Course is this evangelistic course which many, many churches run. But one of the main criticisms of the Alpha Course is the way that it waters down the understanding of sin against God. And so sin in the Alpha Course is described as the mess that you make of your life, or the rubbish that clutters up your life, or the pollution that makes you feel sad and unhappy in this world. But you see, actually, that's just sin in a very subjective way, right? Nadab and Abihu, when they came before God, sin was not the mess that they made in their lives, or the rubbish that cluttered their life, or the pollution that made them unhappy. Sin actually led to a holy God consuming fire on them. And so sin, objectively against God, is very serious, and we need to take it seriously. And so today, as we come to the end of the passage, I want to share with you this diagram that comes from this book that I recommended before during our studies on the book of Revelation. Actually, when you go through the whole book of Leviticus, the worship of God, right, at the heart of it is always about three things. Homage, or the honoring of God, respect, reverence, and the fear of God, and service to God, right? All the Old Testament cultic religious activities always encompass these three things. And so worship must always be a lifestyle and an attitude of heart of coming before God with these motivations. There's no point doing all the worship outward cultic activities without these heart attitudes. And so today, as we come to the end of today's sermon, yes, we have Jesus as our high priest. Hold firmly to him. But at the same time, let our heart attitude and be reflected in a lifestyle where we honor God as holy, have awe and reverence before him, really give honor and respect to him. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Father, as we come before you today, we really pray that you help us to see that you are a holy God and a consuming fire. Dear Father, help us to see that it is with such gratefulness and thankfulness that we should receive Jesus. He is our high priest at this very moment in heaven at your right hand interceding for us. He never sins. He never makes mistakes. He is the perfect sacrificer, and he's the perfect sacrifice. Help us to always hold firmly to him so we have confidence to approach the throne of grace. But help us to always remember that because we are saved, therefore we need to give you honor as holy in our lives, to have the heart attitude of awe and reverence before you, to have a lifestyle which really embodies that fear of you, and not to have the attitude of Nadab and Abihu, who came before you with a contemptuous, rebellious, persistent attitude of disobedience before you. And we pray for all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor, for giving us God's word today, reminding us how we are to approach God in awe and reverence. Up on screen now are two discussion questions. I'll give us some time. The first is, is my relationship with God a holy and consuming God fire right? What might I need to change in my attitudes, my hearts, and actions? How does having Jesus as my heavenly priest affect my confidence in coming to God? With that, I'll give us 5 minutes to discuss with our partners next to us.
Thanks for listening to this podcast brought to you by Bethany Trinity Presbyterian Church. For more information, visit us online at busypc.sg.